On Tuesday of this week, the State Highway Patrol Office in Tacoma, Washington, began getting phone calls reporting a truck, an 18-wheeler, driving on the interstate and oozing out great blobs of an unknown substance. Blobs is really as big as that piano, some of them. Now, some people reported that it was dropping insulation. That's what was falling off the truck. Others said it was some sort of foam. The Highway Patrol reacted, and they located the truck. Now, by this time, the truck driver had sensed that something was wrong, and he had already pulled over to the side of the road. And upon investigating, it was discovered that what had been falling onto the road out of this truck was bread dough. Yes, bread dough. What had happened was that the driver had made his normal pickup, as he had done for years, transporting dough trimmings from a biscuit factory. And these trimmings, these scraps, were placed in plastic bags at the factory and then thrown into a large container, where the container would then be picked up and hauled to a plant to be processed into animal feed. So the driver picked up the normal size load, and he started the trip. But Tuesday was different. It was hot, and there was traffic and delays, and the drive took longer than normal. And in the heat, the dough did what dough does so well. It started to rise, and it filled up the container, and it oozed over the sides of the container and out onto the highway. The good news is that no one was hurt. There were no accidents. The dough got scraped up off the asphalt and put away. The driver of the truck was deeply embarrassed that he had caused all this. And the Highway Patrol of Washington State issued a very humorous video making light of this sticky situation. Now, I tell this story today because our reading involves dough. Today we are looking at those four parables from Matthew's gospel that describe the kingdom of heaven. Now, did Jesus tell these parables back to back, all four of them in a row, as Matthew presents them? Probably not. Did Matthew collect these words of Jesus about the kingdom and then place them together for his readers? Absolutely. I have no doubt that these parables were created in response to the people's question, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Now, Jesus has been preaching about the kingdom of heaven, and Matthew has been teaching his congregation about the kingdom of heaven. And in response to the people's questions, we have these parables. Today, we have this image of heaven that is baked into our brains. And just say or think the word heaven, and we think of that place that is up there, the place that is the afterlife reward for the godly. Heaven is a place of eternal bliss. And for the less than godly, there, of course, is that other place. Now, for Jesus, heaven is something different. Heaven is not just the afterlife. Heaven is the now. The kingdom of heaven is present, but not fully realized. The kingdom is among us, but it is hidden. The kingdom of heaven exists as the already, but not yet. The kingdom represents God's presence among us, our being in relationship with God, our giving ourselves wholly in worship and devotion to our Lord. That is the kingdom of heaven. And to describe what is essentially indescribable, Jesus used these parables, these short stories. And you will recall that these parables are intended to be cast alongside the kingdom to further illustrate it for us. Now, in the first parable in our reading today, heaven is like a mustard seed. The mustard seed is incredibly tiny, and yet it grows into a large bush. The mustard seed is not technically a tree, since it does not have a single trunk. It's a bush or a shrub. And the mustard bush can easily grow to 10 or 15 feet tall. Now, in reality, the mustard bush is a weed. And a farmer would not want this plant planted in his field where it could grow and it could scatter more seeds, enabling more plants to grow and take over. And yet, in this one field, this one tiny seed is placed. And once placed in that field, it would be impossible to find until it started to grow. This ridiculously small mustard seed can take over a well-tilled field if it's allowed. The kingdom is like a mustard seed. The second parable is about dough. A woman has 3 measures of flour, and into this she places yeast. It sounds as if she's making bread, doesn't it? But is she? 3 measures of flour is approximately 50 to 60 pounds of flour, and that would be a lot of bread. For some reason, our English translations tell us that she mixes the yeast into the flour, but that's not accurate. The Greek tells us that the woman actually hid the yeast in the flour. She didn't mix it. She hid it. She purposely contaminated 60 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened and changed. The kingdom is like yeast. The third parable tells of a treasure which was hidden in a field. This time, a person discovers that treasure, then rehides it, and then in great joy goes and sells everything that he has in order to purchase that field, which contains the treasure. The kingdom is like hidden treasure. The fourth parable is about another person, a merchant, who deals in fine pearls. And when he discovers one particularly valuable pearl, he sells all that he has in order to acquire that one pearl. The kingdom is like a pearl. These four parables about the kingdom, do they tell us what the kingdom looks like? Does it tell us that its streets are paved with gold, that it is populated with harp-playing angels, that it is a place where you can eat spare ribs and chocolate cake to your heart's delight? That's my heaven. No. These four parables tell us that the kingdom of heaven is something that will disrupt our well-ordered lives. In the perfectly manicured farmer's field, the kingdom is a tiny seed that will eventually conquer the land. It's like yeast that will transform a great amount of flour. There's something sneaky and insidious about the kingdom, isn't there? It starts small. Most people won't even notice it. But it grows and it spreads. It's kudzu. The kingdom can be like the seed or the yeast that is quietly concealed until it grows and spreads. Or it can be something wonderful that is discovered. And when discovered, inspires those who find it to radically change their lives. Later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus will tell his disciples that faith, even the size of a mustard seed, can move mountains. And the kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field, and once discovered, the finder sells all that he or she has to purchase that field and that treasure. Or the kingdom is like a merchant who sells everything to buy one particular valuable pearl. In each of these cases, the finder sells everything to make their acquisition. And for the finder, the treasure, the discovery, was an unexpected surprise. For the merchant, he's a man who deals in valuable pearls, but this one exceptional pearl was a lifetime achievement. This was a pearl he simply had to have, and to afford it, he needed to sell all that he had, which was likely his collection of fine pearls. He sold many good things in order to get one great thing. And the kingdom is like that. It's worth selling all that we have, even those things that we value most, to obtain it. When we consider the kingdom, we normally see it as something external, something that is outside of us. The kingdom is something that we are searching for, that we're striving for, something that we can taste on the tip of our tongue, something that we can sense but not quite feel, something we can see when we close our eyes. But how many of us look inwardly for the kingdom? Have you considered that maybe the kingdom is within you, that you are 50 pounds of flour and the kingdom is a small bit of yeast, slowly changing you from unleavened to leavened? Or maybe you're a field and the kingdom is a tiny seed taking root. And when you discover that the kingdom is within you, will you do what is necessary to make it yours? Will you gladly give up your old life to embrace the new? Also, in these parables, you will see that the kingdom does not appear passively. Action is required. No parable in Scripture tells of a person who sits idly on the couch, ignoring the world, and then experiences the kingdom. No, these four parables are driven by action. The farmer sowed the seed. The woman hid the yeast. The men found and hid and sought and bought, sold and bought. To realize the kingdom requires that we must act. These parables of Jesus, they are wonderful. They stretch our imaginations and they challenge our faith. But they are not the only way to describe the kingdom. And as people of faith, we should practice looking for the kingdom, searching for it in the unlikely places around us. And as we search, we will begin to see the kingdom in new and different ways. We will see the kingdom around us. This past week, here at the church, we spent some time trying to help a young homeless man. He had gotten to Lebanon with no money or transportation, no job, no place to stay. We first discovered his backpack, which was stashed in the bushes out by the church. And then on Monday, we found him sleeping at the back door. I finally met him and found him to be a very gentle, very polite young man, but clearly having issues that makes it difficult for him to function day to day as we do to maintain our lives. But by the end of the week, he had two jobs and a bicycle and a place to stay if he wanted it. As I took him around Lebanon this week seeking assistance, I was reminded again of how many people in Lebanon have given themselves to helping others. Over and over, through these people and their organizations, I witnessed God's kingdom. I saw it in the woman who collects and distributes bicycles. Bicycles are very important if you don't have a car. I saw it in the house that just opened last week that will provide shelter to 8 homeless veterans. I saw it in the business that freely gives to local helping organizations and supports their work. I saw it in the business that hires people who've been incarcerated just to give them a chance. Those were just a few signs of the kingdom that I witnessed, and there are many more. We only need to practice looking for the kingdom in order to see it. And every glimpse of the kingdom that we see, every time we see it, that's a mustard seed, which, if given the chance to grow, will transform us all. And for this, we can be truly thankful. Amen.